الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، praise be to Allah سبحانه وتعالى، and may Allah send His peace and blessings upon His Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. As to what follows, today's khutbah was very relevant to us specifically. And I thought it was very interesting that the Shaykh touched upon the subject. He began his khutbah by turning our attention towards an event that took place in Qatar a few days ago, which was broadcasted, waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah, which was broadcasted on the satellite dish. I'm sorry? Satellite dish. Yeah, I mean, people were able to see it through the satellite dish, but it was in Qatar, Doha or something. Yeah. Anyways, it's something that I was very familiar with in the United States. See, in America, we have this thing of interfaith gatherings, and they are and there's this call that the people have been trying to send across for a while now. The call of the unity of religions. طيب. And what they're trying to do, in other words, is try to find the common grounds between Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, and try to work in harmony and a brotherhood kind of sense, and where we could put away the differences and be cool with each other. And this is a call that has been going on for a while. This is very strong in the United States. So much so that they have all these interfaith gatherings and conferences. And you will hear some outrageous stuff from Muslims, which your mind does not accept. Such as one of them, I just quote him, as I read it in the newspaper. He got on and he said, I do not have a problem by allowing a rabbi or a priest to address my congregation in a masjid. I don't have a problem with that. And I know, alaykum salam. And he said, I know that they're not trying to convert us, and they can rest assured that we're not trying to convert them. And this is some weird ideology that is really far away from Islam. And they're trying to do the same thing right now. And the Shaykh said, this particular call is a call upon falsehood. And then he laid down six principles that we need to know as Muslims in order to know how to deal with this new concept that the people are bringing about. Concept number one, principle number one, is that you have to have the firm belief, know that there is no religion upon earth. There is no religion upon earth accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Islam. None. Zero. Nada. It's only dreams and fascinations and wishes. As for the only thing that we could worship Allah according to, it is Islam. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whomever seeks a faith, a belief system other than Islam, it will not be accepted of him. And he will be among the losers in the hereafter. And this is something that we need to understand. And this is not being arrogant or being rude or being selfish. This is being truthful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Islam signs and indications that it is the only true faith. And it is the only faith that is in agreement with common sense, and it is in agreement with our natural inclination. The way Allah created us, you, each one of you as a human being, you were born feeling that there could only be one creator who deserves the worship alone. This is by default. So the first principle is that we need to understand, if Islam is the only religion that will be accepted to Allah, then why are we trying to do otherwise? And why are we trying to compensate the disbelievers? By making them feel better on the expense of what? You think Allah will honor us by doing so? La wallah. On the other hand, we will be degraded. as we are having some of that in this day and time. So the reality is to have dignity in Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this faith for all of His messengers. So we are the only people who follow all of the messengers and who really follow all of the books that Allah revealed prior to distortion. And we are the only one who follow the call of the messengers, Ibrahim, Nuh, and John the Baptist, and you know all of them, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all the other ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Shu'aib and Salih. All the messengers came with the same call: my people, there is no God worthy of being worshipped but Allah, so obey Him, worship Him. And the people still went astray. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we have some backup by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first principle. The second principle that we need to be aware of is that the Quran, which is the final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abrogated everything that came before it. And you might abrogate means, okay, let's say I have this bottle of water, okay, and this is the common bottle of water among the people. So I come and find a new kind, tayyib, which will be dominant, and it will abrogate this kind. So this kind will just go before nobody will use it anymore. This will be the new bottle of water that everybody's going to use. So abrogate is basically to make something invalid, okay, to make something void. To void something where it's no longer valuable, it cannot be referred to as a resource, it is not qualified anymore. And that which has been the abrogating element is the thing that will remain. The Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, and we have sent down upon you the book, which confirms the books that were given before it, and it is dominant upon them. So judge between them with that which Allah has revealed to you, and do not follow their desires. So the Quran, brothers, is the only book that has been preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus all the other belief systems like the Bible and the Gospel, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and whatever else is available from scriptures, are no longer a reliable source for Allah to be worshipped according to them. You cannot refer them to them anymore, because Allah, the one who revealed those books, has revealed the book for you and made this one the one you're supposed to follow, and given you rules and regulations, and informed you in the book that the other books have been distorted. Which takes us to the third principle. The reality about the Torah and the Injil, the Gospel, the Bible and the Torah. The fact, which is a common fact among everybody here, apparently since you became Muslims, that there are distortions and alterations that have taken place in these books. And wallahi, if you read some of the books of Ahmed Didat, rahmatullah alayh, he has a book called Combat Kit. He mentions all the differences and the contradictions and the outrageous information and inconsistency and the material in them, which will really cause you to just be shocked, because you probably never came across of it before. And then actually when you go to the actual Bible and you see it with your own eyes, it is even more shocking. Subhanallah al-Azim. Here it says 40,000, here it says 4,000. Here it says he told her this, here it says he told her that. Besides the incest and the fornication and family members having sex with each other, all this is in the Bible. Don't believe me, go check it out on your own. I'll bring you the verses. It talks about Lut. Our Prophet Lut had two daughters. And supposedly they got drunk with each other. So the older sister told her, you know, when we got drunk, I slept with him after we finished. So why don't we get him drunk tonight again, and you sleep with him tonight, so we could both carry the child of our father. This is about a messenger of Allah in the Bible. Don't believe me? Check it out yourself. So how are these books going to be referred to? And how are we going to say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you read the Quran, you will find that throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors and praises the messengers all through the Quran, every one of them. Even if one of them made a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala usually will not even point it out. He will just say that that messenger repented to Allah, and Allah guided him and bestowed his favors upon him. It wouldn't even mention their faults if they had any insignificant faults. But to accuse them of fornication with their children, yani, this is an example. So this idea, we need to keep in mind. So we will understand that when the people are trying to make a relationship between Muslims and Christians and Jews, there's a huge difference between us and them. The fact that what they have is nothing, and what we have is everything. It's sufficient. The same way, if you are a graduate, and you have degrees, and you are going to join a class, you would not join a class of beginners. You already took all, you can teach this stuff. What are you going to be doing in class with a bunch of people who don't know how to read and write? You're going to join a class according to your ability so you could give and take, so you could benefit. So we have the truth from Allah. We have a book that is preserved from Allah. So we go to them and sit there trying to make friendly with them about their nonsense, so we could go down a little bit, so they can go up a little bit, so we could be on the same ground. La wallah. La wallah. No same ground. Allah has risen the believers above the disbelievers until the day of judgment. And once you become a believer, this is an honor bestowed from Allah to you. So don't sacrifice it to please somebody whom Allah is not pleased with. And that's the whole idea. The fourth principle is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. There will be no messengers after him. And he is the final messenger who is upon everybody to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "And verily Muhammad is not the father of any one of you, but the messenger of Allah and the seal of prophets." So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of all messengers, and no messenger will come after him. So belief in him is necessary. This is why he alayhi salatu wasalam said in a narration narrated by Imam Muslim, that, "Well, I swear by the one who is the soul of my hand is Muhammad." No, "I swear by the one who is in his hand is my soul, that no Jew or Christian hears about me and my message is delivered to him or her, and they do not believe in me except that they will be among the people of the fire." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us about this reality when he said that whomever seeks a religion other than Islam, Allah will not accept it from him. So it will not be accepted. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Verily the faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was walking and he had a page of the Old Testament in his hand. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afi shakkin anta ibn al-Khattab? Are you in doubt? Are you in doubt, O son of Khattab? Wallahi, it has been given to me white and clear. And if Musa, my brother Musa, was alive, he would have no choice but to follow me. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah. Faddal. And if my brother Musa was alive, he would have no choice but to follow me. Brothers and sisters, I'm used to brothers and sisters all the time. So this is something that is important, because when we look at the reality of the Day of Judgment, and when we look at the incident that will take place after the people will be standing for 50,000 years awaiting Allah to judge. I'm giving you some of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the Day of Judgment, people will be standing in the land of judgment, where they will be judged for 50,000 years. Okay, waiting for Allah to judge. This is not the duration of the judgment. This is waiting for the judgment to begin. So the people will start sweating, and it will become a burden upon them. So they will come together and will say, "Let's go and intercede. Let's have somebody intercede for us with Allah." So they will go to Adam. They will say, "Adam, you are the father of the creation. You are the father of us, the human beings. And Allah created you with His hands. Intercede for us with Allah." He will say, he will accuse himself of the crime that he committed, of the sin that he committed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven. When Adam ate from the tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him and accepted his repentance. Yet he said, "I have done such and such. Myself. Go to Musa." No, I'm sorry. He will say, "Go to Ibrahim. Go to Nuh." Then they will go to Nuh. They will say, "Oh Nuh, you are the first messenger from Allah to the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you and the ship and the other people. Intercede to us with Allah." Then he will call his fault about requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save his son. And he will say, myself, myself, go to Ibrahim. They will go to Ibrahim. They will tell him, you are the father of creation. You are the father of the prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abu al-Mursaleen. And they will tell him to intercede with Allah. Just ask Allah to judge between us. He will tell them, I lied 3 times. And he will mention the lies that he was doing for da'wah purposes. And then he will send them to Musa. Musa will send them to Isa. And the significant part is when they send them to Isa, Isa will not say anything about himself. All the other messengers will mention a fault that they did. This is why they're ashamed and they're shy to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede. But Jesus alayhi salam, he will say nothing about himself. And this is from the virtue that the Muslims have for Isa alayhi salam, that the disbelievers don't understand. He will say, myself, myself, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they will come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they will request of him to intercede. And then he alayhi salatu wasalam, he will say, ana laha, I am for it. And he will go and he'll intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will judge, begin the judgment on the day of judgment because of the intercession of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not any of the other messengers. So his position among the messengers is high, and we are his followers. So we are more honored than the followers of any other messengers, because we are the followers of the best of all messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who confirmed all of them and believed in all of them and brought us news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about all of them. Not some guy who faked, who came and denied all messages, say, I'm the prophet of God, but you can't believe in Isa and Musa and Ibrahim. Then he will say, man, you're a liar. No, he came and he confirmed everything that came before him. So you will know that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the fourth principle. The fifth principle that the Shaykh mentioned is that you have to have the firm belief that the Jews and the Christians are kuffar, disbelievers among the people of the fire, unless they accept Islam before they die. And this has been indicated in the text in the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Bayyinah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Verily, those who disbelieved from the people of the book and the polytheists, the mushrikeen of Quraysh and others, okay? Those who disbelieve among the people of the book and the mushrikeen, they will abide in the hellfire eternally forever. Verily, those are the worst of creation. Brothers, this is serious. And we have to have this understanding. And this is the call that they have in America. We were not allowed to say in the masjid, we were not allowed to say in the masjid that the Christians and the Jews are kuffar. Because we live among them, so we are afraid of them. So you will find the imam and the sheikh and the people, everybody, his whole life is like this. Because we lost our trust in Allah. We lost our connection with Allah. So we fear the creation of Allah instead of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we hide the truth. And we don't have to hide the truth. Because the truth is supposed to be exposed and made clear to the people. So ain't no shame in it. Yes, the Muslims are the believers and everybody else is a disbeliever. And I will quote to you a nice incident that took place. They say that they had a radio show. I don't know how authentic this is, but this is relevant. They say that they had a television show. And they brought a Muslim, Sheikh, or maybe even a regular brother. And they brought a Christian priest, and they brought a Jewish rabbi. And they put them all on the TV in front of everybody. And the host said, look, each one of you claims that his belief system is the one that will take him to paradise. So prove it to us. Each one of you has the same claim. You know this. The Jews say you have to be a Jew. They disbelieve in Isa. They disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they say you have to be a Jew to enter paradise. And the Christians say you have to be a Christian and have Jesus as your, believe in him as your salvation, as your savior. So you cannot believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he tells you that he is not your salvation. So you can't be a Muslim, otherwise you will not go to Jannah. And the Muslims apparently, we say, well, you ain't going to Jannah either. So everybody claims, who's really truthful? So they said, who wants to begin? So the Muslim brother said, I will begin. So they gave him the mic. He said, look, if believing in Musa and the Torah is the key to paradise, then Muslims will be going right with the Jews. Because we believe in Musa and the Torah. Assuming that this is the key, the Jews will go. And the Muslims will go too. We believe in it. We believe in the same thing. And if believing in Jesus and the Bible was the key to paradise, then the Muslims will go with the Christians as well. Because we believe in Jesus and the Bible. But if believing in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran is the key to Jannah, we're going on our own. Y'all ain't coming with us. Which one of you believes in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which one of you believes in the Quran? Zero. So stay out. We're going on our own. So we have a win-win situation. And the reality is, the key to Jannah is with neither one. The key to Jannah is with us. And that's a firm understanding that you need to have. So these are the principles that the Shaykh laid down. There was a sixth one, which is yes, to be aware that this kind of call is means to try to destroy Islam from within. And they want to weaken the Muslims and make him accessible. He said, we are supposed to give da'wah. It is our obligation to give da'wah to the non-Muslims and to the people of the book, specifically among the Muslims, and to argue with them in a manner which is best. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do so. He says, but not on the expense of sacrificing some of our belief systems in order to please them. That is not the means of da'wah. You want to give da'wah? Yes. And you are supposed to give da'wah. But that does not mean that you go to church to give him da'wah. Something that is Islamically prohibited, you don't go there in order to please them. You give them da'wah with you feeling that you are confident that the truth is on your side. So you don't need to compromise nothing. You don't need to compromise. If anybody needs to compromise, they need to compromise because we have the truth and it's expensive. And they need it because they're in danger. So this is the six principles that the Shaykh laid down. To be careful from this new ideology of having wahdat al-adiyan, the unity of religions. The fact is, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only the Muslims, the believers are successful. And if anyone from the people of the book, whether a Jew or a Christian, would like to accept Islam, then he is among us, one of our brothers, a believer. To him is what belongs to us, belongs to him. And this is the best that it gets. Actually, those who enter into Islam from another religion, they will get the reward twice. You will get double the reward. Because you believed in your messenger, and you believed in the new messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. So you have double virtue, as opposed to only believing in one from the get-go. And this is as far as it gets with the disbelievers. So we need to be confident, because if you look at the reality, and if you study the three religions, you will find a lot of discrepancies, brothers. A huge amount of discrepancies. And what I've quoted to you from the Bible, wallahi, is just a little bit. The other ones I'm too ashamed to mention. Too ashamed to mention about prostitution and things that your mind does not believe. And when I read them on the book of Ahmad Didat, I thought, man, maybe somebody's playing around. Maybe the people who published the book trying to exaggerate. So I went to a website called Crosswalk. It's a Christian website that has all of the Bibles, all of the different versions. And the funny thing is, you put on the scroll down and you see like 40 versions of the Bible. I don't know how many numbers, you have to choose one. Subhanallah al-Azim, the book of Allah in 50 versions or 60, or I don't know how many they came across nowadays. So anyways, I put the number of the verse that the Shaykh had mentioned in his book, and I read the same thing with my own eyes about things that you probably never read when you were a Christian, because you never read the Bible anyways. Except maybe a few things. How could this be from Allah? Look at the Quran. The harmony, the beauty, the consistency. Allahu Akbar. It is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the words of Allah without a doubt. This is why Allah says in the Quran, really, if this book was from other than Allah, then you will find a lot of discrepancies in it. And the fact is that you don't. But that's an indication that any book that you find a lot of discrepancies in, it is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the principle that you can judge a book, whether it is reliable or unreliable. And this is more or less what the Shaykh said, plus additions and deletions as usual. Please forgive me for the shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Barakallahu feekum. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Today, the Amin says a book to read. What does it mean? Do you believe also the Bible?
No. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a Bible to Isa. So he was given a book. The Gospel, yes.
Injil, yeah.
Nah. He was given a revelation. Is a more technical term?
Including the
gospel.
Testament in the gospel.
Yes.
What the meaning of the Bible means is revelation to make one in the book.
Oh.
Calling is here. Bible means getting Greek term. Greek term?
Yes.
Beatles. And he put the Bible.
Aywa.
So you said to believe in the Bible.
So you have to say the gospel.
Yes. Including all the
okay.
And also this, what he mentioned, Ahmad, that is collecting, that is the word of God. No, because this, the Bible is not, means pure word of God.
Okay. Okay.
That's why I mean, I tell
no, that's good. Yes. Well, what I understood from the brother is it's a terminology issue as far as the gospel and the Bible is concerned. And you brothers probably know this more than I do. So he was, what I understand from, correct me if I'm wrong, that we believe in the gospel, but not the Bible.
Yes, correct.
Because the Bible is an extra thing, well, it's the things that they wrote about Jesus afterwards, right? The parts of the New Testament was whatever was written afterwards. As far as the original revelation, it's the Old Testament, which is the gospel.
The Torah and the Injil.
Now,
yes.
Okay. So we believe, anyways, we believe that a revelation was given to Isa alayhi salam, but we don't believe in the current version that we have between our hands. But in it might be some things that have been unchanged. So there's a principle that the scholars have laid down. They say if that which is mentioned in the Injil is in agreement with that which is mentioned in the Quran, then we believe in it. If that which has been mentioned in the Injil is in disagreement with that which has been mentioned in the Quran, we disbelieve in it. If there's nothing that indicates this or that, we don't believe in it and we don't deny it. Because if you deny it, you might be denying something that Allah revealed. And if you accept it, you might be accepting something that is not true. So you hold back on the things that we cannot affirm, confirm or negate. Otherwise, some of it is from Allah. But because of the additions and the deletions, a revelation was given to us that it was preserved. As Allah says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We have sent down the remembrance and we shall protect it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, which will not undergo all these things that underwent the other books underwent. There will not be changes and additions and deletions and discrepancies. It will be protected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the day of judgment. Barakallahu fi. Whenever you find a mistake, always point it out.
This sort of meetings can be for law and order,